Thanks for the introduction. And my name is Chukwudi Amadi. So obviously sometimes there's mispronunciation of my name, so, which happens sometimes. Right, and welcome back from the break. My topic is shelter belts, opportunity for mitigating greenhouse gas emissions in agricultural systems. It is widely believed that agriculture is a major contributor to the increased atmospheric concentration of greenhouse gases, and producers today face the enormous pressure of producing enough food for the teeming human population, and at the same time reducing the problems associated with intensive agricultural production. Trees planted in the agricultural landscape are recognized as having the potential for reducing the carbon footprints associated with intensive agricultural production. And they do this by accumulating carbon in tree biomass, carbon in the soil, and reduced greenhouse gas emissions. So this study looks at the role of shelter belts in reducing greenhouse gas emissions from agricultural landscapes. So shelter belts are a form of agroforestry systems, usually involves the planting of one or more rows of trees across agricultural fields, mostly for the control of wind erosion, but also other benefits include the enhancement of wildlife and biodiversity, and also the management of soil moisture through the entrapment of snow. Other benefits from shelter belts include the mitigation of agricultural greenhouse gases and also carbon storage. And so since over 600 million trees have been planted across the Canadian prairies since 1902, and even more have been planted in the US, shelter belts might be playing a substantial role in reducing agricultural greenhouse gases. So the objective of this study is to quantify and compare the emissions of CO2, methane, and nitrous oxide from shelter belts and crop fields. So for this study, we selected three sites. One is in Prince Albert, which is right there. Another one is in Saskatoon, and the last one is in Outlook. All these sites are in Saskatchewan, Canada. So just to give you a little bit of a visual about the experimental layout, the three black boxes represent the sites that we talked about in the previous slide. And in each box would have three shelter belt plots and three crop field plots. And in each of the plots would have four sampling points. So the three species we considered in the shelter belts would include Caradana, hybrid poplar, jack pine, Scots pine, and the rest were mixed species. And for the crop field, we had an oats field, wheat field, tomatoes and hardscrabble, and also soybean. So greenhouse gas sampling was measured using the non-steady state vented chamber method. And our sampling intensity was once per week, but depending on weather events, we would increase that sampling intensity or reduce it. Gas samples were analyzed using the gas chromatograph, and on each sampling day, we collected ancillary data such as soil temperature and moisture at 5 cm depth, and soil sampling was done at 15 cm depth. So this is the result of our soil analysis. And for organic carbon, what we're seeing is increased soil organic carbon in the shelter belts compared to the crop fields. This result is expected because there is continual addition of 3 liters in the shelter belt soils compared to what you get in the crop fields. For nitrogen, we have higher total N and higher ammonium N in the shelter belts as well compared to the crop fields, while we are seeing high nitrate N in the crop fields compared to the shelter belts. And that could be because there is continual addition of nitrogen fertilizer, in the crop fields. We're not seeing any differences in soil pH. However, the CN ratio appear to be higher on the shelter belts compared to the crop field, and that might be pointing to the fact that the carbon stored in shelter belt soils may be slightly more recalcitrant to degradation compared to the carbon in the field. Bulk density again is lower in the shelter belts compared to the crop field, and that may be pointing to the higher organic carbon in the shelter belts. And for soil texture, we have sandy loam in PA, clay in Saskatoon, and sandy loam in Outlook. So these were the three sites that we considered. So here is the result in one of the sites of greenhouse gas emissions. So this data compares crop fields and shelter belts between April and October in the year 2013. And when you look at soil temperature, you'd see that in the crop field there is a lot more fluctuation in soil temperature compared to a gradual rise across the season in the shelter belt. And this, you don't get that fluctuation a lot going on in the shelter belt. However, you see higher temperatures towards the end of the season. So this points to the fact that that shelter belts, much like other tree plantings, are able to create microclimates in the area that they occupy. And when you look at soil water, this would correspond to the snow melt period. And you would see that in the shelter belt area, there is higher uptake of water, and tree roots, trees, have higher water requirements. So they took up that water faster than in the crop field. So when you look at this, these two graphs may be pointing to the fact that shelter belts are able to might have an implication on the soil biological or maybe the microbial community that you find in the shelter belt soils. Right, when you go to nitrous oxide emissions, again, we see a lot more nitrous oxide activity in the crop field, especially during that snow melt period, whereas the activity is very much reduced in the shelter belts. We also see higher uptake of methane under the shelter belts compared to what we see in the crop fields. And for the CO2, we're seeing right in the middle of the season higher emissions of CO2 in the shelter belts. And two things could be responsible for this. One is that there is continuous addition of tree litter in this system compared to the crop field. And again, this period here really rhymes with the period when you have optimum soil moisture and temperature for biological activity. So that could be causing more enhanced soil respiration in that system. And that result was consistent across our sites. So you still see the fluctuations in temperature and higher uptake of water, and we still see the high nitrous oxide activity in the crop field compared to the shelter belts, and we see higher CO2 emissions from the shelter belt. And same thing in the Outlook site as well. Right, so we went ahead to look at the cumulative emissions. So this would be the sum of all that emissions across the season. And what we are seeing is that there is higher nitrous oxide emission across the sites, within the season. And yeah, there is this high variation in the data, but that is characteristic of nitrous oxide that are very, very variable. And we are seeing higher uptake of methane in the shelter belt as well compared to the crop fields, and that's consistent across sites too. In terms of CO2, we are seeing higher emissions of CO2 from shelter belts compared to the crop fields. So what these results really mean is that shelter belts are able to reduce nitrous oxide emissions from agricultural landscapes, and the amount of nitrous oxide reduced could really also depend on the amount of nitrogen fertilizer that is being put in our system. The uptake of methane is higher on the shelter belts compared to the crop fields, and that represents another way that shelter belts could be reducing greenhouse gas emissions from agricultural landscapes. Tree roots are able to take up excess water and excess nitrogen, and that would help to reduce the processes that lead to N losses through denitrification and leaching. And as well, you could get reduced methane through that process, because most of these processes rely on anaerobic environments to proceed. And CO2 emissions was higher under shelter belts, and this is really expected because there is greater carbon and soil organic matter in that system compared to the crop field, and also there is higher biological activity because that's the substrate that the microbial community would act on. I wish to acknowledge the technical support and assistance from Doug Jackson, Darren Richman, Frank Craignan, Mark Cook, Matt Jones, Shannon, and Curtis. Funding was provided by the Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada Greenhouse Gas Program, and the additional support was provided by the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture. Thank you.
And we have a minute or so for a couple of questions.
My research, so the question was, there were different tree species in this research, and she's wondering if there were differences in greenhouse gas emissions associated with these species. Yes, that's the straight answer to that question. However, I think trees that are able to, nitrogen-fixing trees would emit more nitrous oxide compared to the others that would not fix nitrogen. So, for example, Caradana is a nitrogen-fixing tree, so it would emit more nitrous oxide compared to the other species.
And you detected that, you could
actually with your gas chambers detect those differences? Actually, I devised another study to look at those different tree species, so yes, I did. Yes?
Did you alter your method of measuring fluxes for each gas? So, or were they taking a single sample from so, for example, with CO2, you have your chamber on the ground for a shorter period than for H2O?
No, the gas sample was the same, and then in the GC they were separated. So I didn't have different experimental setups for getting the different gases.
And how long did you have the chambers on the ground?
The deployment time was 30 minutes, so we would take samples at 10-minute intervals.
Okay, thank you. I think we have to move on to the next speaker. But